Navigating fertility and infertility can be incredibly emotional and challenging. This is where fertility coaching comes in. Today's episode is full of practical steps, wisdom, hope, and a key aspect of fertility that I wish every woman and couple was aware of along their fertility journey. Whether you are just starting your conception journey, have experienced losses, or have been trying to conceive for months or years, my interview with Elizabeth King is for you. We dive into the subconscious mind and how to truly heal and support yourself as you journey toward motherhood. Let's get started. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. I am so excited for today's episode. I have Elizabeth King with me. She is a certified fertility expert and founder and CEO of the Fertility Coach Academy, who helps people of all backgrounds conceive a healthy baby and carry to term. After having three children of her own after the age of 40, Elizabeth believes taking a more holistic approach is the key to success when attempting to conceive. Now, as a master certified ICF life coach, birth and bereavement doula, and new parent educator, she has helped thousands of women achieve their dreams of conception and parenthood in 20 plus countries around the world. She supports clients through natural fertility, infertility, IVF, miscarriage loss, early pregnancy PTSD, and new parent support. With over 25,000 followers on Instagram, Elizabeth is the host of a podcast, Creation Innovation, and is a contributor to the books Naturally Conceived and The Creative Life Book. For her expertise, she has been featured in Forbes, BBC, Romper, Parade Magazine, Entrepreneur, and the New York Post, on Good Morning Washington, Sacramento's Your California Life, and the Tom Ron Hall Show, and on podcasts like The Transition Channel and The Bachelor to the Burbs. Wow, such a great list of amazing accomplishments. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here and talk to you. I love connecting with you and talking about this topic. So happy to be here.
Good. Awesome. Well, why don't you start with telling us a little bit about yourself and your story as to why you got into fertility coaching?
Yes. So I have recognized that my story actually started, or my story relating to fertility started when I was 19, when my sister at the time, well, she's still my sister, but at the time she was 26. And she was diagnosed with a rare cervical cancer. It was a lung cancer cell found in her cervix, and was given, you know, no one on the planet still to this day has survived it. She luckily has, and is here again, 26 years later or something. But that, I didn't even know what a cervix was then. And at that time, you know, she had a radical hysterectomy and all of that. It was, the first thought was, well, don't worry, we'll have a baby for you. We being me and my other sisters, there's four of us girls. And, you know, speaking to the fertility doctor at that time about all this was really the first education about eggs, follicles. You know, of course, it was a different underlying perspective of somebody who was having a diagnosis like cancer, but it was really my intro into this whole world. Fast forward to age 30, I got divorced and went back to that same fertility doctor to freeze my eggs. And at that time, the technology wasn't what it is today. And so he had said, no, come back later. And I did, went back at 36, still single, went through the IVF process at that point, because now the technology was what it is now today, and froze 11 eggs at that time, in hopes that I would be having a child at some point later down the line. But also it was more of an insurance policy, so to speak, as I would like to put it. It was, I had my 401k and I had my eggs frozen. And it wasn't so much that I had this desperate need to have a baby at that time. It was like, okay, it's like the smart thing to do, you know, being somebody who was still single at that time and building my career and all of those things. And then went through kind of my own advocacy with women's health, with some fibroids that my regular OB had said were not an issue, went back to that same fertility doctor. So now at this point, we have a long history and lots of things going on. And he said, actually, it is an issue because of where they are. It's not that they are big, which is why my OB turned me away, but it's the location of them. So mm-hmm. I had a surgery with a gynecological oncologist. And then after that, got pregnant naturally with my first son. It wasn't until my first miscarriage after that, that I really recognized that my 10-year devotion to life coaching really needed to be turned to fertility coaching specifically. And knowing that all the ups and downs of going through the process with fertility clinics and the emotional roller coaster, really, of what that's like, waiting for the phone calls and all the things, that the as amazing as the clinics are and the staff that work there, they weren't trained into supporting the patient that was coming through the process there. Right. And we were separated in the room when I was getting my DNC by another couple with just the fabric curtain that was doing their first retrieval. And mm-hmm. so they were so excited. And obviously we were so devastated. And it was this huge justification of, you know, how can I legitimately be so happy for these people, but also so devastated for myself? And mm-hmm. how do we bridge that gap for people that are on this journey both ways? Right.
Yeah.
And so, it just kind of became a natural evolution of, you know, people reaching out, knowing what I had been through, and then now coaching other coaches to help other people and hoping that we have this ripple effect to spread awareness around fertility in general, and then the support that is provided on that journey as well.
Oh, what a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of people will find comfort in, you've had so many elements, right? You've been a person of somebody who's not able to conceive on their own. You've been a person who's trying to prevent, you know, fertility issues in the future. You've been a person who is, you know, trying to do the best thing. You've been a person who conceived naturally. You've been a person who's had loss. Like, you've been through a lot. And I think that that's really powerful. And I'm just so happy that you decided to show up and support other people in the world, because it's so beautiful. So tell me a little bit, for anyone who's curious, what is a fertility coach? Like, what do you do, and or what do you train your coaches to do to support people on this journey?
That's a great question. And it really varies all over the board, right? Just mm-hmm. like if you go to a naturopath like yourself, right? They're mm-hmm. they all have a different way of operating.
Right.
Really, from our perspective and what we teach, is a more holistic view, the mind, body, spirit, all of those things. We don't rule out the medical side of things, because if somebody really does have a structural issue or something else going on, that needs to be addressed. And we want to mm-hmm. make sure that that's addressed up front, rather than them kind of waiting the proverbial, you know, 6 months or a year of trying and then going to their doctor. We really encourage people to, as we call it, get the lay of the land up front, mm-hmm. so you know what you're working with. And then work backwards. We build up fertility teams. And what that means is all the people that can support them, an acupuncturist, a naturopath, a medical doctor, an RE, whatever that is, in addition to the mental, emotional, spiritual support that a coach will offer. And we call that, in our world, the creation continuum, because we're all trying to create a life. Mm-hmm. And so we really focus on the creation aspect of it. And what does that look like? And how can we show up in our world to continue to create in all different ways, while mm-hmm. also lifting ourselves outside of this almost like funnel of fertility that sucks you in, right? Mm-hmm. Your whole world starts to become, you know, am I ovulating? Am I not? Is it, you know, did I start my period today? So those ups and downs of disappointment. And then if you are doing ART or artificial reproductive technologies, that's a whole different roller coaster of waiting for test results, going to all the different tests under the sun that are out there, and kind of that underlying anxiety that comes along with that. So we meet the client where they're at, and that's mm-hmm. different for everybody, because somebody might have endometriosis, somebody might have PCOS, or unexplained and mm-hmm. no one's really helping them. And so that's a whole nother aspect of what we deal with is there something on an emotional block perspective? And we work through a modality called Psych-K to remove those subconscious blocks that might be preventing you from getting pregnant. Maybe it's something that you heard or have seen somewhere along the line, or maybe it's a lineage thing, a DNA mm-hmm. genetic type thing that your mom had, and or your doesn't even have to be on your mother's side. So we really start to peel back the onion in all these different ways to say, how can we open this up for conception, and not only conception, but a healthy live birth? Because yeah. a lot of people also unfortunately suffer those losses. And then, you know, we help them through that process of having that anxiety going into their next pregnancy in fear that they might lose that pregnancy again. So we work through a lot of different aspects just depending on where somebody is at.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't realize that you were doing the Psych-K. My sister actually found that for herself recently, and that's very exciting. We'll have to talk offline about that.
Yes.
That's very cool. Can you tell anybody a little bit more about that for anyone who doesn't know?
Yeah. So it really is, I always kind of say it's similar to if people are used to the modalities or used to hearing modalities like EFT, the tapping, or EMDR. A lot of therapists are trained in EMDR. A lot of therapists are now doing Psych-K because you don't have to get into the trauma of a situation in order to remove that. And it's really those recurring thoughts that you might have. So a lot of times I see people around, if they've had a loss, that they kind of feel like, well, that's been my experience, which is fair, right? We all are living this human experience in our world, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be what happens again. Mm-hmm. But our brain, our left brain, right brain, are in conflict with that, our subconscious, our conscious. And that's why a lot of times when people are told, oh, just do these affirmations, if your subconscious mind doesn't believe that and or doesn't buy into that, it's just going, you know, in one side, out the other. Mm-hmm. So we really bring you to a whole brain state, as it's called in Psych-K, to get that conscious, unconscious, left brain, right brain to agree that this is what we're moving forward to. So it's called a balance. And I've seen amazing things happen with clients when they're trying to conceive, to really just remove some of these blocks that, again, may be theirs and may not be theirs. Mm-hmm. It may be something from childhood that really isn't even related to fertility that they're consciously aware of, but then they in turn recognize later that, oh my gosh, it is. So it's a really passive way to heal those subconscious thoughts that are not serving you, and to tap into your higher self of what's going to be best suited for your life ahead.
Oh, I love that. That's so amazing. I think at the root of so many things are subconscious blockages and infertility, especially, you know, there's so many aspects. It's like, yes, sometimes in situations like in my husband's case, you know, he had a physical issue and other things. And I feel like so many people, even when those components are there, there is so much work to be done and more greatness to be had that is hard to access without getting into the subconscious. My husband and I have both done a lot of work in that regard along our fertility journey, because it is so hard and you do start to seek out support to help process what's going on. So with that, just one more point about that, is this work that has to be done in person, or can you see people virtually?
No, I see people literally all over the world with Psych-K. Cool. And that's a really beautiful way that it doesn't have to be. In fact, I see more people remotely than I do locally in person with it. And at first, I wasn't really sure how that was going to work out. I'm definitely always, I love people in person in general. So I'm kind of one of those people that's like a little skeptical about any of those things that are remote.
Right.
But when you start to hear the results and see the results for people telling you back, like, oh my gosh, you know, I do feel so different today, or, you know, this changed, that changed. I mean, it speaks for itself. So I'm happy to report that it actually does really work remotely very well.
That's awesome. I love hearing that, because so many of our listeners are all over the place. Okay. So with that, can you speak a little bit to the struggle of conceiving, right? I think for some people, it's the first month they're not pregnant and their mind starts to spiral, especially if they have friends or family members who struggled with infertility. For other people, they might be really positive for 8-9 months, you know, really thinking it's going to happen until maybe the year turns and they are diagnosed with infertility. Or for some people, it's they've been trying for years and years or have had many failed transfers with IVF or no embryos made. And can you just kind of speak to that, not only maybe like the emotional blockages that might be in the way from the beginning, but also the process of struggling to conceive will bring up its own stuff?
So much stuff. It's actually like mind blowing when you think of all the different facets that it can come up because of it, mm-hmm. you know, because then you get into the relationship issues mm-hmm. and trying to manage that as well. I mean, it's, I can go on and on about this, but I think it really, as you kind of said before, once somebody's starting their process, whether if they have something physical going on, it's actually a little easier to get your head around it, right? You can say, okay, I have the answer. This is what it is. And now I can move forward with whatever we need to do. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that your subconscious doesn't start to play tricks on you, right? Mm-hmm. You start to buy into whatever that diagnosis is. Maybe you think I'm broken, I'm not good enough, I'm, you know, less than or whatever, right? So then it starts to just get a little bit messy with your mental situation. And we all know men and women, if you're trying to conceive, when our cortisol raises and that stress hormone gets into our blood, it does start to affect all the things, right? Mm-hmm. And all the things, meaning our cells and the health of those cells. So the reason that we really put such an effort to regulate that nervous system and regulate the mindset through the fertility process really is from that perspective of making sure that all the cells are jiving and grooving together in a really healthy, happy way. And it can be a real mind game when you're on the journey, because even if you're trying to conceive naturally and that, you know, you're tracking your at-home ovulation predictor kit and texting your partner, okay, this time it's, you know, it's a smiley face or it's a flashing smiley face or whatever. I can't really remember what those are these days, yeah. But whatever the signal is that it's time to have intercourse, that then becomes a different pressure, right? Mm-hmm. You start to think, if I don't meet this window and we don't have intercourse during this window, then I have then lost my opportunity for this month, this cycle. And then that becomes its own mental game, because mm-hmm. there's also the issue with a lot of people come to me that they have relationship issues because mm-hmm. the partner, the male, feels like that's all they're wanted for during yeah. that time. And the woman is tending to grasp on so much about, like, I'm drinking matcha, I'm, you know, having pineapple, I'm doing all the things, I'm standing on my head, I'm doing everything that I possibly mm-hmm. can. And so they get back into that funnel of fertility that is not healthy. And it starts to just continue to overtake pretty much every aspect of their world. Mm-hmm. And so as a coach, what we really tend to try to get people to do is step out of that. What can we do to take yourself out of that? And again, if you're trying to conceive with ART, it's a whole nother thing, because you're switching your lifestyle around your cycle and the doctor's appointments and going every other day for blood work and all those things. So it's just right. a different type of stress, but similar in the fact that it's ruling how you live your life. Yeah. And we really want to say, you are running your life. The fertility is in the passenger seat. And once we start to help people to shift that a little bit and see what are the tweaks that we can do to make sure that you stay in check with that. Mm-hmm. And it's not starting to rule that aspect. People get to this place of calm and this recognition of, wow, I really did let this overtake me, of Googling things all the time and, mm-hmm. you know, self-diagnosing with other people's situation online. And mm-hmm. if someone else is taking this, I'm going to start taking this. And then they're mm-hmm. coming with 30 different supplements because mm-hmm. Susie Q did that and that's what got her pregnant. And I think it's really important to stay in your lane, as I say all the time, mm-hmm. work with your own fertility team of what is good for you. What is, you know, decreasing the inflammation in your body? What is helping you to de-stress? We're not going to sit here and tell people, you need to meditate and journal. If that's not your jam, that mm-hmm. causes some people stress if right. they don't like it, you know? So we really try to work again to see what is going to be the right fit for that person on their particular journey of where they're at. So they're not getting those highs and lows of, okay, well, now I'm in my 2 week wait. So I might be a little bit okay until my period starts. And then I have this deep dive again of depression or disappointment or all the things. Mm-hmm. And so figuring out how can you, if you do go there, stay in those places less time and it's not so heavy, right? Yeah. So that you feel like, okay, I'm moving forward. I have control of this situation. Of all the things that you can, it's controlling the controllables essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really do believe figuring out that lay of the land from the beginning of knowing what is going on. What are the things that you can control? And I don't really like using that word because that brings up mm-hmm. a whole nother triggering thing mm-hmm. for a lot of people. But as much as we can, figuring out where can we be in the driver's seat versus it the other way around on this fertility journey.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that. And yes, I think you're a very important part of the whole fertility puzzle that I think a lot of people don't even know exists out there. Right. I think it's so important. Yeah. How great would the world be if the minute you started trying, you got assigned to somebody like you?
I know. I think, I mean, even when I remember going through it myself and asking my clinic, because I think after my second loss, I was just like devastated. And I went to a therapist that specialized in miscarriage loss. And my husband waited for me outside. And I remember coming out of that just feeling even more desperate because all I was looking for was somebody to give me that hope and to say, mm-hmm. it's going to be okay. And you'll get through this. And it happened to me. And I have 18 kids or whatever it mm-hmm. was, right? I didn't get anything from that. And, that's kind of why I got into coaching in 2008, a million years ago, was because I felt that you really need to connect, for me anyway, I really need to connect with somebody to know that they understand where I'm at, mm-hmm. that they in some way, shape or form have been in my shoes. To have that dialogue with somebody that's like, I get you. I understand how devastating that is. I've been down this road and look, you can do it too, right?
Yeah.
And when I asked my clinic at the time, the only one that the type of situation they had was either a therapist that really just did the psych evaluations for people that needed, you know, if they were doing something that required that by the state or resolve and nothing kind of one-on-one where it was that essentially handholding through the emotional process rather than talking to the phlebotomist every mm-hmm. other day of like, right. when is this going to get better? I mean, mm-hmm. there's all the people in the clinics are generally so sweet mm-hmm. and whatnot. But again, they're just not trained to be dealing with the emotional aspect of that. And that's where coaching really does play such a huge role in sharing those highs and lows with each other. Yeah. And it may not be the same exact story, but the emotions and the feelings that go along with it, no matter where you are on the planet, everyone can relate to that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Did you know that stress impacts egg quality? Stress increases oxidative damage that negatively impacts your eggs. This is why it's important to really support your eggs no matter where you are along your fertility journey. I personally love Needed's egg support product. I helped design this formula, so I obviously love it. But even if I hadn't, it would be the one I would recommend to my patients and clients. This formula is an antioxidant and mitochondrial powerhouse that supports the oxidative damage that many things, including stress, can cause. It has key ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, PQQ, and ALA. I love pairing it with Needed's prenatal to get the essential nutrients as well as their CoQ10 product. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER.
So you've mentioned that you've had two losses. I don't know if that was the totality of all of your losses, which is more than anyone should ever have. But you've been through that process and I know you support people. What would you say to someone listening who has had a pregnancy loss, one, speaking from someone who's been through it, and also from a coaching perspective, because I think a lot of people are doing this alone.
Yeah, I think the first and foremost, don't get down on yourself. Don't give up. Don't think that it's hopeless and helpless, because it's not. There are so many ways that you can go about figuring out what your next step is. And it might be a little bit more digging than you expect, but don't give up. As far as if you don't get an answer from a doctor that you feel is in alignment with you, go to somebody else and keep knocking on the door until you get an answer that feels right to you. I think I ended up going to 4 other doctors after my one that I had been with for so many years, because I got to a point where I wasn't in alignment with the answers I was getting. Mm-hmm. And specifically after my second loss, how I felt that something was still wrong after my DNC, and they're like, no, everything's fine, fine, fine. I went to another doctor who said, actually, there is fetal tissue still there, and that's why you're still having such heavy bleeding and all this other stuff. So I always say, continue to advocate for yourself when you've had those losses to get the answers. Now the recurring loss panel, they'll do after 2 losses, which is great. It used to be 3. Yeah. Most of the time you don't get any answers from that, unfortunately, but it's good to whirl that out and to just say, okay, everything's fine there. Most of the time it ends up being something that's chromosomal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in cases like myself, of course they chalk it up to your age and, and, you know, the age of your eggs. I see people with losses in their 20s and 30s every single day. Mm-hmm. So all I can say to somebody who may be over 35, try not to accept that invitation. Mm-hmm. That's the best advice I can give to someone, is we have so much societal evidence that people are having children over 40 every single day. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing the right things for your body and your mind, it is possible. So don't buy into that it's the egg.
Yeah.
I mean, just as equally, it's a sperm.
Yeah.
And now they're actually finally talking about that, which
is great.
Because before, they would kind of just blow you off as their textbook answer. That's the egg quality. Mm-hmm. So not giving up, really working with somebody that can help you hone in on your inflammation in your body to calm that down. Because we do know that the egg quality really is related and tied to the inflammation in your body. So the more you can work with somebody to figure out what are those things that are causing the inflammation in your body and remove those, it doesn't necessarily need to be everything and being on some strict diet. It's just the things that cause your body issues. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really easy way to start. And most people who have been down this road, you know, are really good patients or clients, because they're very motivated to get to that healthy life birth. So they're willing to do kind of everything. I just warn, don't be told that you have to move mountains in order to make that happen. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I see people that are being so extreme, and that then in turn causes so much stress on the other side of their life, because they're so freaked out about, if I don't do this or I'm doing that, I'm not going to get pregnant. And I always say, that's not going to be the game changer. Let's focus on the things that are going to be the game changer for you and really just hone in on that. So that's kind of the overall of what I would say to somebody, but also find those people that have had losses and see what they have come to be, right? I ended up having 2 more healthy babies, you know, 42 and 44 naturally after my losses. So, and I'm of course not the only one. There's many, many, many people out there. So find those people to remind yourself that it's possible. And be your own advocate. Dig for answers. Ask for all the tests. If it doesn't come up on one test that something's going on, ask for another one. Really just be your own advocate and push until you get the answers that you're satisfied with.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. I wish I had had you on my journey. And maybe I still need you on my continued journey, because I've had a lot of stuff come up, you know, in preparation for our next embryo transfer. I actually just saw a practitioner today, but I would love to maybe even see you working through that exact thing that you're talking about, of your subconscious mind kind of interferes with your conscious mind of telling it all of these stories that aren't true. And you know, there's trauma that can happen, especially along the infertility journey. You know, ours was 6 years long, and we ended up having a healthy baby with Avia through IVF. Our first round of IVF and our first transfer was successful. And the one thing I was telling my practitioner today was, I feel like I have this fear component saying, well, who are you to have another successful transfer? Mm-hmm. You know, who are you to be a woman who's not going to have a miscarriage? Because 1 in 4 women have miscarriages, and like, yeah. What, you're going to not like lose a baby? And, you know, all of these horrible thoughts. And I take a lot of trauma on from my own patients and clients, sure. of their losses. And so it's a lot to navigate, especially for me, because I'm in the thick of it. Of yeah. still building my family. And so I can see the value in what you're doing and supporting people with on a huge level. And I'm just so excited that you exist.
Yeah. You're in a unique situation, because most people, I can say, stay off social media, mm-hmm. you know, again, stay in your lane, but you know more from all aspects, right? You know more mm-hmm. than is healthy for
yes,
your...
it's totally, totally not healthy. Yeah. All the things I know, I'm like, please unknow these things.
Yes. But at the same time, already, without even getting into Psych-Kick, your higher self, your subconscious already knows all the answers for you. So it's your conscious mind that is telling you these lies, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's essentially basically reworking that neural net in your brain mm-hmm. to say, no, thank you. You know, that was Elizabeth's story. That's Susie Q's story. That is not my story, right? My story mm-hmm. is going to be the example for all these people that, yes, you can do 2 successful transfers and be done, mm-hmm. you know? And so really just kind of reframing that narrative that you tell yourself, because people are coming to you for a different service mm-hmm. and that is not your story.
Right. No, that's so helpful. No, I really appreciate that. And I think so many other women, you know, probably can think of some of their own stories, right, that they tell themselves. And a question I have for you, and I grapple with this all the time, because I am a naturopathic doctor, I do know a lot of things. I do know that toxins impact fertility, and, you know, certain foods, if they do cause issues in your body, can disrupt things. And, you know, there's lots of things to know and do. And then I also know the flip side of, yeah, the stress, the overwhelm, the control, freaking out about every single thing. And I have come to my own peace and understanding and awareness of kind of how to navigate the world of being aware and knowing, but not obsessively controlling. But what do you say to people? How do you marry that, those two worlds of like, okay, here's all the stuff that we know, all the scary things that you need to avoid and all of that, right. versus how do you maintain like a fertility energy through all of that? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, of course. Again, if you Google what to do for fertility, you're going to come up with, you know, clean out your whole kitchen, clean out all your cupboards, you know, change your refrigerator and all the things. What I tell people is take it one step at a time, right? Most people are already pretty aware of, you know, good things for the environment and their home and things like that. So it's not something that is going to be shocking to them and or a huge shift in trying to make those changes. But also it's kind of like going to the doctor and getting that lay of the land. The more we know that we have eliminated things in our kitchen, like the plastics and whatever, we're knowing that, okay, we can at least check that off the box. That's not mm-hmm. going to be something that's preventing my fertility. If any of those things come up and are triggering to somebody, if we're talking about them, then I say, let's not do it. Let's put it on the back burner for now, right? Mm-hmm. Let's take a baby step towards that, whether it's diet or cleaning out the household area situation things. That being said, unless we know that you're using something that is extremely toxic, which most people that are coming to a naturopath or to a fertility coach generally are already doing quite a bit that's on the more natural side and being pretty conscious about those things. But the baby steps, you know, an 80-20 rule. If you're doing the things 80% of the time and 20% of the time you're letting that go, you're doing a lot better than the average person out there. Mm-hmm. And each day or each month, re-evaluating that. How's that 80-20 working for you? Is it feeling stressful? Okay, if it is, what is stressful about that? right? Is it the diet portion of it? Is it you really want to go back to using your old pots and pans or whatever it may be, and figuring out what's the workaround for that? What can we do within that that is 80-20 that makes you feel, okay, I'm making a step that's positive towards my fertility, and positive in the sense that we know we're not disrupting any hormones. We know we're not putting anything on our body or around our environment that could potentially be causing any issues. And the same with, you know, as you go down the line with early pregnancy, right? I always really err on the side of being more conservative with people as far as, you know, no sex during those first 12 weeks because you don't want to risk any infection, no travel just in case anything happens. You want to be close to your doctor, something of that nature. You know, things that most people would be like, oh, no, you're fine. I really try to tend to be on the side of conservative feelings about that because I have seen so much of the emotional headache that it gives ourselves, right?
Right.
I went on that hike and maybe it was the hike that I did,
right.
Or I flew to Hawaii and it was probably the flight because I miscarried on the flight. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can eliminate some of those things for a short period of time, and back to the conceiving portion, this only has to be a short period of time if that's what you want, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to go back to all your toxic things after, great. But during that time and during early pregnancy, let's try to work towards that other area. I have yet to see anybody who makes those changes and wants to go back, which is why I'm giggling about it. But if that is something that would be what they wanted, great. This you take it in baby steps, right?
Yeah.
All of it, a fertility coach, a naturopath, all of these things are small periods of time in your life that we're just trying to get you to that next phase. And once you are, then you can move on. It feels like so heavy and it feels like forever when you're in it. But I promise you, when you're on the other side, you're going to be like, wow, that actually wasn't that long. And it wasn't that hard as far as all these aspects go. Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
Not so hard as far as cleaning out the kitchen and the house and changing the diet.
Right. So that's all wonderful. Yeah, I agree. Baby steps, and it's tough because everyone comes, and I'm sure the people who find you, and maybe that's not true, but the most people who come to you, they've already kind of been on the fertility journey for a while. You probably don't have a lot of brand new people. Because I have both, right? Because I do online programs and courses. And so some people, it is brand new information to them that, you know, plastic can affect their fertility and, you know, to get perfume out of their lives and stuff like that. And so there's different levels. It's actually the hardest part that I've had in creating my fertility support on Womanhood Wellness is who I'm speaking to, because I don't know exactly what knowledge they have. I can't just assume somebody doesn't know these things, but some people are like, oh, this is old news. So there's a lot to unpack and uncover with fertility, but I think the sooner that someone can get emotional support, the better. Speaking of that, I know we all talk about it a lot in the fertility space. And we've done an episode on this in the past because a lot of people just say, oh, just stop stressing, you'll get pregnant. And it's the worst thing to hear as someone going through infertility. And as a naturopathic doctor and knowing things, I do see that stress is a big factor in fertility in the sense of maybe energetically blocking or just like, you know, we obviously know the hormonal impacts of that, but what do you say about stress? Because I think sometimes because we hate on it so much as an answer, we kind of just like don't even want to talk about it because we're like, don't just tell me to stop stressing. But at the same time, I do find that that is a big factor in fertility in general, and especially even in the stress of trying to do it all perfect, trying to take all the supplements, trying to do all the things and go to all the procedures, and like it almost over consumes you to where now you're more stressed.
100%. And most people I see are very type A. So they are doing it all perfectly. And that causes even more. You're stressed about being stressed because you know you're not supposed to be.
Right.
So then you're in the cycle. And that's where we try to get back to what works for each person. Is it the meditating, the journaling, the coloring, the connecting with nature? We really hone in on what it is for that particular person. But you don't have to look far to see medical evidence that stress causes issues in the body, breakdown. I mean, it's scientifically proven,
right,
whether you are trying to conceive naturally or not, and you want to do things in a natural way or not. We know that the nervous system, when it's out of whack or you're more cortisol pumped into your body is going to react a different way. And so that's where, you know, this, I always say you want to punch someone in the face when they say that, because it is so much more than just relaxing and just, you know, letting it happen, because for a lot of people, that is not the case.
Right.
And I think the more that when you're talking about your course and this general information, the more that we put that out there for whoever may or may not know, it's raising awareness in general for the next generation so that they do know that, you know, that it is just a normal thing that everybody knows in the world. Right. Mm-hmm. And so how we can mitigate that stress essentially and get you out of that cycle of stressed about being stressed on it is really getting support through it. Mm-hmm. Connecting with somebody who understands where you're at so that you can play off of each other and you can figure out in this moment, what is it that's causing me stress right now, right? Mm-hmm. Is it my next phone call that I'm waiting for from my RE? Is it because my husband feels like he's being used every time we are trying to ovulate? Like, what is it for you that is causing you that? Is it because you've been trying for 2 months and you thought you would be pregnant by now,
right?
It's different for everybody, but also knowing, how do I get back to center? And what is center for us? I always say that the spirit babies want to come to parents that are having fun and that are creating. And a lot of us on this journey, we forget how to have fun.
Yeah.
We're so all consumed, as you say, by this process of conceiving that we lose track of the bigger picture. Like I saw a squirrel outside my yard today or yesterday, and I was thinking, you know, they don't run around thinking about when they're ovulating, not ovulating, what's happening, et cetera. They're just going about their life and doing their thing in nature. Mm-hmm. And we get so far from nature in our day-to-day worlds because we are working, we're doing all the things, we have so much more than we did 50 years ago, even, of stress on ourselves in all kinds of ways. So you may not think that you're stressed about things in your life, but if you break it down, start to look at, what does my friend circle look like? Is everybody good there? What does my family look like? I get a lot of things with people's sister-in-laws, believe it or not. It seems to be like a underlying theme often. But what are the other things? Work. You may think that your work isn't generally stressful, but then you could be working 10 to 12 hours a day. And just that in and of itself, even though you love your job, is stressful. And how can we figure out how to get yourself out of that? Because the more that those other things play into it, the more you feed into this stressed about being stressed specifically about your fertility.
Yeah.
So again, it kind of goes back to unlayering the onion of what else is happening there. Do you have a toddler that's not sleeping? And so you're not sleeping. And then you're trying to conceive at the same time and you're trying to do your basal body temperature, but your baby wakes up in the morning. And so you miss that day. That causes stress. You know, there's so many different aspects of it. So how do you step away from that to take a breath to say, this is not driving my life,
right?
The other side is. And oftentimes I'll go back to talk to a friend about it, talk to a coach about it, a therapist, somebody who is going to have an open dialogue with you about your situation, not just talking to you of how does that make you feel and, you know, talking about things in the past. We want to really focus on what the future is and how do we come to changing those thoughts that are creating the feelings that then create how you show up in the world and what your stress level is and how your nervous system operates on a day to day.
Yeah, I love that. And speaking of that, the nervous system, I think the kind of work that you're doing with the psyche and just other subconscious work, I think is a big part of people actually getting to the root cause of their stress. And this is at least true for me along my journey, in that I feel like sometimes past traumas can wire our nervous system to almost seek out more traumatic or more stressful situations. Or, you know, you maybe grew up with a certain childhood trauma that then, you know, put on this perfectionistic shell where you have to be perfect in order to be loved. Or, you know, there's so many things that are deeper behind it. You know, for someone to say, oh, well, just stop working. And people say, well, I can't. you know, even if they financially are good, why can you not? Like, why can't you slow down? Why, you know, is it hard for you to say no to the friend that makes you feel horrible all the time? Like, what is underlying that? And I think for someone who feels like, well, I've done the things, or like, I don't know how to get support with actually helping stress, I do think doing some of this kind of root cause, subconscious, mental, emotional work can actually help with the other stress, because it's actually subconscious beliefs and patterns that are driving that.
100%.
You know, it's like, you want to be pregnant, you're stressed. There's other things obviously as well, but the stress comes from this other thing that's deeper than that and deeper than that. And you can always keep going deeper into the root cause, and it can be kind of crazy, but I think that the work that you're doing is so powerful and impactful. And so, yeah, I just want people to leave with that, and that you don't want to just tell someone, just don't stress, go on vacation, you'll get pregnant. We were told that so many times, and everyone would assume it was me. They're like, oh, honey, are you stressed? And I'm like, oh my God, it literally, my husband has no sperm. Do not tell me to go on vacation. It will not fix the problem. Like, it was so frustrating. And I don't want to discredit the impact that stress does have on fertility, even if you're going through IVF. I see, you know, that really being forgotten about, because that process in and of itself adds so much stress. And so getting that support is so helpful.
For sure. I mean, just going down the road of IVF is a huge, huge decision for people. Mm-hmm. And they also feel like, okay, once we finally have made this decision, that's it. It's mm-hmm. done. We're going to have our baby in 10 months, right? Like, we finally decided we're going to pull the trigger. This is it. And then only to find out, oh my gosh, this is a really stressful situation, and it's not guaranteed that we're going to have a baby in 10 months. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I think even that perspective of people being aware of what that whole journey looks like going yeah. into it can mitigate their stress just from the onset of mm-hmm. this is the reality of how it goes. This is what to expect. This is how it works. This is, you know, the ups and downs and the process of it. And then from there, you feel like you are educated, and with education comes empowerment. And then you can say, okay, I can now make a decision whether we do IVF from a place of being educated and knowing what to expect, what to ask, all of those things that we kind of take for granted when people think, oh, I'm going to do IVF and I'm going to be having shots done all the time, and I'm going to gain weight, and my body's going to be all bruised up, and all of these things. Again, that's subconscious messaging that you got from somebody else, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. not your story. Right. I went through IVF and I didn't gain weight. I didn't have bruises all over my body, you know? So yep. that's just what you're taking in from people that you heard or have seen around you. So it's really important, again, to figure out how you can stay in your lane, be in those places that support you, and put the blinders on so that you're taking in the stories that are going to support you and lift you up, rather than people's things that are negative. I always say, usually most of the people that are posting online are telling their not so great things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm having morning sickness. I have all these symptoms. You don't hear all the people that are pregnant that don't have any symptoms. And they're like, because they're not posting that, because right. they're just going about their day, right? It's like the squirrel outside. They're just doing their thing. Yeah. Right. And so we hear the negative side of things, and we can't undo, unread, unsee those negative things. And so be cautious when you're on social media or Googling things, because that's where we start to take in this other side of things. Like you were saying for yourself, well, why am I so lucky? Well, why wouldn't you be so lucky? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that have been to and done, and it's easy. We just don't hear about them. We yeah. hear about all the other stories that are so tragic and hard and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, but that doesn't need to be your story.
Yeah, it is why it's hard for me to see clients, and why I've pulled back significantly, because a lot of the people who choose to see me and pay the money to see me are the ones really struggling. So I don't get to see all the beautiful, happy, you know, right. easy conceptions, because they're not coming to see me for the most part. right. And so it does yeah. like, it switches things. And, you know, before we wrap up, I just wanted to say that I had a similar experience about becoming a mother, actually having my baby. I think people felt really guilty because of my infertility to tell me about if they liked motherhood or if they liked oh. being a mom or whatever. And so everyone just would tell me how horrible and hard it was. And I don't know why. And I don't know if that's just because that was their experience or if they felt like it was better to be like, oh no, it's so hard. Like, you're so lucky you get to sleep 12 hours a night, you know, like all these things. And so I had this horrible like perception of postpartum and early motherhood because no one told me anything good. I think because they felt guilty, or maybe, I don't know. I was just in an interesting circle of people that were really struggling because my postpartum was amazing and being a mom has been amazing. And I loved every minute of it. And I didn't have a lot of those positive stories. I actually actively had to seek them out and be like, if anyone likes being a mom right now, can you like tell me about it? Because everyone seems like they're just bitching and struggling and suffering and lonely and not sleeping. And I'm just like, what is happening? So yeah, it applies at all stages. And I think, you know, just your mind is such an important filter and processor, and it's just fascinating. I love it.
Yeah, it's so powerful. I always go back to the example of somebody who's anorexic. It's literally their thought in their mind that has caused them to be sometimes death or hospitalization, all because of thoughts in their brain. That blows my mind. That is so powerful. And it's such a great, vivid example to people of, you think the thoughts you're having every day aren't affecting you. It's impossible for them not to affect you. Right. And so making that choice of how you want those thoughts to play out to make you feel every day is so important to get a hold of, right? Because it makes all the difference in the world. You know, when you talk to somebody and they're like, how are you doing? I'm super great today. Even hearing that like makes me feel great too, right? Yeah. As opposed to, yeah, I'm okay. Like, whatever. And so just having that awareness of how you show up in the world and what you're putting out there makes a difference, not only for yourself, but those around you.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. This has been such an awesome episode. Elizabeth, where can people find you and connect with you? Tell us all the things.
On my website at elizabethking.com, on Instagram at the official Elizabeth King, and on the podcast, The Creation Innovation. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Well, I am definitely going to send people your way because this is just awesome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.